Hey, everybody, this is Gordon in Boston.
And this is Mark in San Francisco.
And this is Build Phase. What were you air drumming to?
The Decline.
Okay.
Like 3 minutes before the call, I'm like, I'm going to put on The Decline. I'm like, wait a minute. I'm not going to finish this.
Dan's nodding his head in approval.
I'm going to finish it when the show's over.
All right.
Cool. Just air drumming. People are looking into the conference room thinking I'm crazy.
Sure.
Not too crazy. I've been known to air drum at my desk.
Nice. I've been listening to Pennywise all week.
Like, I noticed that. I saw that on week.
Just one album. Not even like just what have I been listening to? Just Full Circle. Just over and over and over and over and over.
It's classic.
Yeah.
It has all the songs.
Yeah.
Fight Till You Die.
Mm-hmm. Bro Him.
Oh, of course. Bro Him. Duh. Duh.
Anyway. What's up?
You know.
How's your week been?
Interesting. Yeah. I've been house sitting.
Yeah.
And dog sitting. So I haven't been home. I was gone all last weekend. Flew down south for an engagement party. Came back up
Just
Sunday.
To clarify, down south for you is Los Angeles.
Sure. Right.
When I hear flew down south, I don't think Los Angeles.
You think Florida, right?
Well, no, Texas, but.
Oh. No, down south for me.
Or like Georgia, maybe.
No.
Like, I get that it's physically south, but like down
south.
Right,
but it's not the south.
Right.
Yeah, so I was down south last weekend for an engagement party. And came back up Sunday, and then Monday moved into this apartment for the week. I'll watch a dog.
Nice.
Yeah.
Kind of dog?
I think he's a boxer pit bull mix. He's a rambunctious little fellow.
Yeah, I bet. I love pit bulls. I never did. My buddy, one of my best friends, has a pit bull. And every time I'm at his house, I'm like, dude, I'm going to steal your dog. It's They're the coolest dogs. They have such a crappy reputation, but they're so awesome.
Mm-hmm. It's all about training, right?
Yeah. Well, it's that, you know, they have a bad reputation because they've been intentionally trained to be mean. You know what I mean? Like, their temperament by default is very nice and loving and loyal. But
you could probably do that with any animal.
Right.
I could probably train a human to be that way.
Right. Oh, man. What are we talking about?
I was just about to ask you what's on the agenda. I have a couple notes here.
Do you?
Yeah, I have two things written down. So my notes are MD Blurview Bull Hockey and the unfracking of the CocoaPod spec repo.
Yeah, let's talk about the CocoaPods thing.
All right.
Yeah.
Give me your take on it because I read the I quickly skimmed it just before the show started.
Yeah. So long story short, the CocoaPods repo got totally boned.
This wasn't us, right?
No, it was not us. Like 2 days ago or so. I don't know. This week, there was like a corruption, and it's not even anyone's fault specifically. What happened is someone used the GitHub web interface to commit something, to merge something into master or something, and the library that they're using on the back end to do all the Git interactions, libgit2, corrupted the Git repository, or corrupted files in the Git repository. One way or another, yeah, it corrupted something, and it wasn't the end result is that they had to fix the Git problems and then force push master. And what happened is it exposed an issue with CocoaPods that exists, in that because it does rely on Git, if you have to force push master, then like you have to deal with the problems Git has reconciling that, the same way you would have problems if someone force pushed master on like one of your projects. In all actuality, the fix isn't that difficult. Like, I saw someone, I think I was on Reddit, and someone was like, here's a quick fix to the CocoaPod solution. They were like, hold on, I'm actually going to pull it up. And I don't mean to make fun of this person, but it was like is an example of how Git's UI doesn't really, I'm not going to look it up. I don't know. But it was like a 10-step process on how to fix the specs repo, right? And it had to do with, I think it was like checking out branches and then deleting branches and like doing all this crazy crap, right? In all seriousness, the way you fix it is you can cd into home.cocoapods/repo/master, git fetch, and then git reset --hard origin/master. That's all you have to do. You just have to get your local, tell your local thing, no, really, use what's on origin master. Don't worry about reconciling. Just reset and reset hard to origin master. The advice that the CocoaPods guy gave was easier because you don't have to go anywhere. If you just, because of the way CocoaPods manages repos, all you have to do is pod repo remove master and then pod setup, and it'll fix itself. So I don't know. Some people kind of flipped out about it. I think they used it to justify their bias against CocoaPods, which,
well, of course, we knew that was going to happen.
Whatever. And I don't really want to spend too much time talking about that because it's just kind of an annoying. I don't know. I'm constantly impressed that people have time to get their normal work done and give a shit what package management systems other people are using. You know what I mean? I don't care, honestly. Like, I don't. Internally, we use CocoaPods, and internally, we like CocoaPods. But, like, if you really freaking love submodules, I don't care. That's your thing, man. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yes.
Why am I going to spend time worrying about, like, I don't understand people that spend time hating CocoaPods.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything this polarizing since dot syntax.
Yeah. Yeah.
KVO.
Oh,
right. And also, don't use Notification Center in blocks.
Right.
It's always something with this community, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't know.
Why do we have so much free time? That's a little concerning.
Yeah, I don't know. But so that's the gist of the situation, and Eloy's kind of been like on Twitter, he's been like, yeah, you know, it's a limitation of the system in that like this can get screwed up, and that it can essentially, I mean, the warning messages, the errors that you get when the repo is screwed up are kind of inscrutable. You know what I mean? Like, you can't, it doesn't say anywhere. They may be able to do a better job on the tool side of things with figuring out maybe that, like, that may be a good enhancement for the CocoaPods tool itself to have it be able to know that the repo is possibly screwed up in some way, and then suggest how to fix it. You know what I mean? As opposed to just like, it just kind of looks like everything blows up when you do something as simple as like a pod install, you know?
No, they are working towards like a sort of trunk service.
Yeah, but only for pushing. From my understanding, I don't think that they're moving away from using GitHub and Git as the kind of transmission, like the way that they're syncing the pods stuff. You know what I mean? The stuff that they're building is to make it easier to submit and update specs. Right.
So more like Ruby Gems.
More like Ruby Gems, but just the front end of Ruby Gems, just the submission section of Ruby Gems. When you do pod install, it's, again, from my understanding, when you do their idea is that when you do pod install, it still looks at, it still pulls the repo down from GitHub. It still looks at GitHub project or GitHub repos and Git repos, wherever they are, and uses Git or Mercurial or whatever to actually pull down the dependencies, which is smart, right? Distributing that part makes so much more sense than the way RubyGems does it, where all RubyGems have to live on this central repo or this central server, and when that server goes down, you're kind of screwed, you know?
But GitHub could go down.
GitHub could go down.
But I guess if GitHub's down, you're already screwed anyway. Yeah. GitHub didn't go down this week.
Not even once.
Whoa. I want to get Tony back out here and set up a status light.
For GitHub?
Yeah. I tweeted about this. Like, my idea was like a walk, don't walk sign that just says push and don't push.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just wired up to the status site.
Yeah, so the one thing that they did do, CocoaPods, is that they removed push access for, I think, everybody except for the core guys. And that kind of sucks, you know, because it means that, like, I can't submit pods as easy because I'll just push them. But, you know, hopefully this kind of gets them to move on this new front end stuff.
So how do you push updates to pods right now? Or do you just not?
Pull requests.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I see.
Pull requests against the specs repo. Yeah, I don't know. Just going back, I mean, because now my brain's stuck on this.
Go ahead.
CocoaPods hate stuff. I don't know. I would honestly, honest to God, like, not even, like I said, like, I don't really care what you use. The thing that drives me crazy is people that just bitch and moan and don't offer explanations or don't even get into why they don't like it. Like, if you don't like it and you have reasons why you don't like it, if you've had issues with it, that makes sense. You know what I mean? Like, that's fine. Like, everybody's entitled to their opinion. But I haven't ever seen any of the, especially the most vocal people against it, I haven't seen them say anything reasonable against CocoaPods other than, ugh, CocoaPods, which isn't a criticism, you know what I mean? It's like...
Yeah, and then when pressed for it, it's too much to discuss on Twitter.
Right, right. Or similarly dismissive bullshit, you know what I mean?
I just get annoyed by people who just, like, detract from things without offering any sort of, like, solutions.
Right. Here's
You're not doing anything to make the situation better. CocoaPods has undeniably fostered more open source code and made it easier to integrate it into your projects.
Yes.
And, like, these guys are working hard on something. They never claim that it's a 1.0. It's definitely a work in progress. Yes. It's going to go through these growing pains. But, like, you're not helping anything by just tearing it down all the time.
Yeah. No. Contribute. You could contribute to CocoaPods. It's an open source project. You could build something better. By all means, build something better. Like, I'm only tied to CocoaPods because it's, in my opinion, it's the best solution out there for what I'm trying to do. And all my stuff is written against CocoaPods now. But if you come out with something better, that's actually objectively better, then yes, like, because the real issue isn't CocoaPods. The real issue is that dependency management for iOS and OS X, dependency management for Objective-C is completely broken, right? It's not even broken. It doesn't exist. It doesn't exist natively. There's no way to do it. It's just source files. And copying source files into your directory. And so then are you going to lean on Git? Like, I have to imagine that the people that aren't using CocoaPods are using Git submodules, right? I can't, there's not, or copying files into their directory manually. And neither one of those is a better solution than CocoaPods. Like, Git submodules have broken on me way more than CocoaPods has ever broken on me, right?
Yep. That's been my experience as well.
It's a constant thing with submodules. They're just completely unreliable. They're completely broken. There's entire projects out there that are designed to subvert submodules, right? To add like sub, there's like another sub something.
Subtree.
Is that what it is?
I think it's, yeah.
Git subtree?
Git subtree.
That tries to do submodules better, you know? But like, why is dependency management then tied into my source control? That doesn't make much sense to me. You know what I mean? And like, I don't know. I've got my problems with CocoaPods too. Like I'm constantly concerned that they're trying to do too much. There was a conversation that started up on, I think, the Xcode Proj, which is one of their gems that it's the gem that we use in Liftoff. It's how they do, is how they modify Xcode project files, right? And there was a conversation in there about writing something that generates a directory structure for Xcode, right? So generating Xcode projects essentially from JSON or YAML, that kind of a thing. Super interested in that. That is something that I've been thinking about for a while. That is something that I'm very, very interested in. I started following it, and one of the first suggestions is like, oh, cool, this could be a CocoaPods plugin. It's like, why? Like, CocoaPods shouldn't be building directory structures and dealing with, you know what I mean? It's like, it shouldn't be doing that kind of stuff. It shouldn't be generating new projects. It should be dependency management. That's what it's doing. That's like, make that better. Make that bulletproof before bolting all this other crap on top of it.
Yeah. I'm on board with features like Pod Try.
Yeah.
I just tried it out. That was awesome.
Stuff that has to do with the core CocoaPods experience, right? Like dealing with pods themselves. Pod Try, dealing with stuff like opening up a CocoaPod homepage, you know, that kind of stuff. That makes sense, but generating directory structure and generating Xcode projects from it's like kind of gross.
Yeah, that's Liftoff's job,
right? It is Liftoff's job. So I don't know. I'd love for there to be something better. And honestly, like if you're a listener and you have real, like, objective problems with CocoaPods and real, you've run into things or you have like real reasons for not using CocoaPods, I think we'd both love to hear the reasons why and also what you're doing instead and why you like that better instead. Cause I have literally no idea. And that's not me being dismissive. That's me just like, there could totally be stuff out there that's better, and there could be totally be reasons for not using CocoaPods that I haven't even considered yet.
What do you think would happen to CocoaPods if Apple gave us the ability to generate frameworks?
I think
you take a project, yeah, turn it into a dot framework. That wouldn't solve the distribution problem, but it would solve the problem of packaging things up in an easy way to import into an existing project. Do you think CocoaPods would pivot and like start just being like a distribution mechanism for these frameworks?
I think that maybe they could also go the RubyGems route, which is RubyGems does package stuff up for you. Like I can see it being very, very useful to do like when you create a pod, instead of a pod itself being just a directory full of files and a pod spec, that the pod spec dictates how you build the framework. Like that would be super useful, right? Automating the generation of the framework itself, and then distributing it is still an issue, you know, because like the problem is distribution, version management, and conflict resolution, right? Those are the three things that CocoaPods is doing now that nothing else can do. The conflict resolution one is, for me, is big. You know, if the fact that, like, if you and I both require the same, you know, you and I are creating two different libraries. We both require the same dependency, like AF networking. The fact that CocoaPods isn't like a submodule. If we both have submodules for AF networking, then it's just going to pull AF networking down twice. And then it's going to try compiling it twice. And then we're going to get duplicate, duplicate symbol errors when it tries to compile. But if you and I are using CocoaPods and we have that both, we both have it declared as a dependency, well, then it's only going to pull it down once. You know what I mean? It's smarter about that. And if you need one version and I need another version, it's either going to find a version that works for both of us, or it's going to say, like, hey, you can't use these two projects. They require two different versions of the same library. You know what I mean? You may want to fix that, work around it somehow, you know?
I hadn't thought about that, but
that's the big thing. I mean, that's a huge thing for me. It's a huge reason why I still think CocoaPods is the best solution out there because of that kind of stuff, you know? Some modules just doesn't, it won't do that. And as far as I know, there's nothing else out there that will do that.
Kind of related of like libraries out there having too many dependencies. Do you think that's a problem with like Objective-C open source right now? Is it this like flood of things is coming in, but everyone is linking to everyone else and libraries are trying to do too much?
I definitely think libraries are trying to do too much. There was an article on, you know, Unix philosophy for open source libraries that was going around the other day. Was it in Iowa Dev Weekly?
Yeah, it's a Brian Iris.
Yeah. It is in Iowa.
Brian.io.
Yeah. And it's exactly kind of what I've been, it's just exactly in line with kind of the way I've been thinking recently, which is like pull down, you know, so for example, we just deprecated Botkit, right? Which was something that we like all, essentially never talked about because it was kind of this, the idea was, I don't know, what was the idea behind it originally? Kind of like a framework style thing.
Yeah. So it started out as, I mean, before I joined ThoughtBot, I had some of these classes sitting around, a bunch of categories, some core data stuff. And then I thought as soon as I joined here, I would like fold it into something that we could use internally. And I called it Botkit. Mm-hmm. And on my very first day, I started building this framework. Mm-hmm. We used it on projects and then people started contributing and all this stuff was just getting thrown into Botkit. There was no real organization or thought behind what Botkit was supposed to be. And it became this code dump. And yeah. Like I could never really remember what was actually in Botkit right now or what wasn't available. And then our practices had changed. You know, the core data stuff became irrelevant because I found better ways of doing it and we didn't update it. And it just became a mess. So last week I started going through the process of deprecating Botkit. I haven't finished it yet. That's why I was asking about what the process is for updating a pod.
Yeah.
So what I've done is I'm going to push a new version of Botkit with a major version release. I've removed all the source files, and in the main header, botkit.h, I've just added an error that will fail your build and tell you that if you want to continue using Botkit, you need to explicitly specify the previous version in your pod file to pull down the last, you know, good version of this pod. But really, we don't want people to continue using it. We've never really advertised it for that reason. We're in the process of pulling all the interesting bits out, and we're going to do smaller, more focused libraries that are easier to pull in.
Right. And so that's been, I mean, like we did a, like a tiny, I really like the idea of tiny, tiny CocoaPods, tiny, tiny CocoaPods. Like we published one 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago for just doing encryptions of NS strings, right? So NS string to base 64, SHA-1,
MD5,
and
I think we have like an XOR.
Yeah, there's an XOR one too.
hashing thing.
Yeah. That's all it does. It's you know, two files, but it's tested. And if you need to do encryptions of NS strings, there you go. Like, that's all it can do. And that was actually the demo or the example that that Brian was giving in his article about Caleb Davenport. Just was like, is there a small CocoaPod that does NS dictionary to and from form encoding, form encoded string and nothing else? Like, that's what he wanted, was just something that took a dictionary and encoded it to or from form encoded string.
We're talking about like taking a dictionary and turning it into like parameters that you could send along with an NSURL request, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Got it.
So he just ended up making that, and it's, you know, I don't know. I think that's a much more interesting, it's a much more interesting library to me, though, right? Because like with BotKit, like we had some of this encryption stuff in BotKit, right? But we also had some color stuff, and we had some core data stuff, and we had some math stuff, and we had some geolocation stuff. And we, it's like, I don't care. You know, maybe like it's all great stuff, but like in any given project, how much of that do I actually need? You know,
exactly.
I mean, maybe I could totally be doing a geolocating, you know, something that's heavy to do with geolocation. So I definitely would want geolocation stuff, but maybe it doesn't use core data. So I don't want to pull in all this core data stuff just to get the geolocation stuff, or I don't want to get all these other categories just to get the geolocation stuff.
To be fair, we did start or try to solve that with subspecs.
Subspecs, yeah.
But that was really just a half measure, and it never really made me happy.
Yeah.
Is it felt like BotKit was trying to be like, you know, ThoughtBot's extension of Foundation.
Right.
But that's not the right approach. And
no.
Subspecs are a little confusing, especially when it's just a bunch of different things in one framework that don't really have anything to do with one another.
Right. Like AF networking actually is another huge framework, right? And he's using subspecs. How many subspecs does he have now? He has one, two. He has a serialization, security, reachability, NSURL connection, NSURL session, and UI kit. I don't know. What do you think about subspecs versus just different libraries? Like, why not create AF networking plus serialization, AF networking plus security as like totally different libraries, totally different pods? What's the benefit of using a single pod with a subspec versus?
I think it works in this case because they're all working toward the same end. Mm. I mean, it's all about simplifying networking in your application.
Mm-hmm.
So I think having subspecs makes sense. And in most cases, you're going to end up having most of those subspecs pulled in.
Mm-hmm.
So you can just ask for AF networking and you get all of it.
Mm-hmm.
But let's say, you know, you're using something else, but you want, you know, just that UI image view category to pull images in. That should work on its own, right?
Right.
Then you just pull that in. But because they're all kind of geared around the same thing, I think having them in one pod as subspecs is a better way of organizing it. Unlike with BotKit, where it's, you know, categories over here and some foundation stuff and some UI kit stuff. None of it is working together. None of it will really all be used in one project at the same time. It just doesn't make sense.
So show notes for this episode are going to be found at podcasts.thoughtbot.com/buildphase/25.
And as always, we want to hear from you. So email us at buildphase@thoughtbot.com, especially with your rants about CocoaPods. Remember, we want to hear that. Or hit us up on Twitter or app.net at buildphase. And please leave ratings or reviews on iTunes.
All right, man. I'll see you later.
All right. Later.